All right, hello and welcome. It's another episode of the Optic Tour Agency and Studio Podcast. Yeah, man, it's been a cool day today. Looked like it was going to rain, and then it did not rain. But aside from that, a very chill day at the office. Video shoot earlier today, and now we're doing a podcast. So we're just going to do what we always do. We just jump right into it. Tell us who you are. What are you doing here?
Yeah, so my name is Jenna Avery. I am with Creatrix Photography here in Austin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So what's the bulk of the work you do? Like typically what's the most common kind of shoot that you see yourself doing?
I would say anything that puts food in my pantry.
Okay, right on.
More specifically would be my passion lies in weddings for sure. Anything that's couples related. I'm also kind of developing an affinity to families, you know, and kind of enjoying the dynamics and the intimacy that involves families. I find that a little more titillating as I get a little deeper into my career.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool. How long have you been doing photography for?
Almost 10 years.
Cool. Yeah. All in Austin this whole time? Or
no, I actually started in Hawaii. So I shot in Hawaii for 5 years.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, what was that like shooting in Hawaii?
You know, in hindsight, I honestly wish I could go back now and just do a little differently. You know, more specifically, develop my skills a little differently. I'll tell you right now, I did not take advantage of those sunsets the way I should have. You know, I was not really into off-camera flash.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but I mean, it was really cool. I met people from all over the world in different cultures. You're never in a shortage. I mean, of course, not during the pandemic. They're actually pretty strict right now. But for the most part, there's not a shortage of work at all. There's always people coming to Hawaii, no matter what the economy looks like.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting. Hawaii.
Yeah.
Speaking about the pandemic and stuff, we can just go straight into that too. What's it been like managing your business throughout all this and like adapting to the situation? How has it been for you? What are some ways you found to kind of pivot?
Yeah. I'm really starting to hate that word pivot because it gives me a lot of anxiety.
Understand.
During this pandemic, so for me personally, when I find adversity, I find ways to do things better. So if I have a difficult client or I run into a hiccup during an event or something that shows where I need to be growing, I look like, say it's a crappy client. You know, truly crappy, angry, rude type of person. I'm like, okay, what do I do with my brand? How do I change this? And that was kind of the blessing of this pandemic. I did have some people that, very frustrating interactions. And what I did is go, okay, how did I meet these people? How did they find my brand?
Right.
Why did they hire me? How can I avoid
attracting
people like this? So I actually did an entire rebrand.
Nice.
I redid my website. I redid my contracts.
Nice.
I actually read this amazing book. It's actually a Disney University book.
Interesting.
Called Be Our Guest. And it gave the idea of how I wanted to strengthen my relationships with my clients. So I tried to figure out ways to Zoom and develop those relationships. So it really gave different ways for me to improve parts of my business that I would have never realized needed work until the pandemic came and challenged them.
Interesting. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot, just people coming in here and talking about their experiences with the pandemic. It sounds like a lot of people have been kind of doing that, revamping, adapting, like figuring out different ways. And I think that's really interesting about when we come into like a big crisis like this, you know, you start to really think differently. You really tug at the creativity out of you, and you really have to push yourself to get to that next level.
Yeah, especially in such a competitive industry, you know, we're all in this situation together. We're all really uncomfortable. We're trying to survive, and it has been a blessing. I think one of the coolest things out of this whole experience is how much free information and education there is now.
Oh, so much.
You know, stuff that had to pay hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for, and it's just there, you know? And I mean, of course, if you're not taking advantage of it, that's on you.
Right.
You know, but there is so much that I feel like people can really, truly come out swinging. You know, they can have a successful, thriving business after this. They just have to, do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I think it's true. Like, even myself, I noticed it too, like just so many more resources that I was able to find and stuff, like after the pandemic, after everything happened, like everything shut down. And yeah, I've been finding that really interesting, like learning new workflows, processes, stuff like that. But let's dial it back. I want to take it back to the beginning. What inspired you to start shooting photography? Like what was the path like leading up to where you are now? What did it look like? Like what's your why? Like, why did you start?
It's weird. I'll tell you. So, I mentioned when we just met, like I was in the military. So I was in the military for 6 years. I was in the Navy stationed in Hawaii. And I was miserable. Like, as you can imagine, like a critical thinking artist does not do well in the military whatsoever. Like, for instance, I have a nose piercing. I got it 2 years into my career to tell you what kind of sailor
interesting. Nice. Hey, there you go.
Yeah. And it got to that point. I was like, you know what? Like, I have to reenlist. It's better to get out now than get kicked out later. You know, self-preservation choice. I mean, it was amazing. It paid for my education.
Nice.
But I wanted to get out. I knew I was miserable. I actually distinctly remember it was a night on a Tuesday, dark and stormy or something like that in Hawaii.
Super eerie.
And I didn't want to go to sleep. I didn't want to go to sleep because I didn't want to wake up. And I realized I didn't want to go into work. And to me, that was a signal. So I got out, like, 5 months later, you know, I remember my ex was like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, I'm going to start a photography company. And mind you, I had no experience, entry level Canon XSI. I had nothing. I had no experience. I did go into debt a little bit in that beginning, trying to survive in Hawaii, start a business,
understandable,
learn how to actually be a photographer.
Yeah, understandable.
You know, I really kind of just cannonballed into it. And, you know, 9 years later, more than 9 years later, I'm here. I've survived, you know, which is pretty cool. But it is definitely an unusual upbringing.
Yeah, no, that's pretty legit. That's cool, though. Like how you just like made that switch and you're just like, I'm just going to do this. And you like fully committed and went all the way
in. It was just like a touch of the universe is what I call it. You know, it's sometimes something happens that you feel such a strong urge to do, but there's no reason. You just know you need to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You just have that calling and just that, like, it's like feels natural. You're just like, oh, I just have to do this.
Yeah.
You're like, I just have to do this now.
There are certain things. I've always joked that most of my biggest life decisions were done impulsively. I haven't really thought out any of my big decisions ever.
I've done a few. I've also done a few impulsive life decisions.
Yeah, and I think it's just your subconscious telling you you need this. Like, let's go in this direction because I don't like this current one.
True. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
For sure. So going from there, as you were learning and stuff, are there any like tools and stuff that you use now that you think are super helpful? Like as far as like a little more maybe on the software side, you know, I know a lot of people use like Lightroom, Photoshop, all that stuff. Is there any like specific platforms you use, like either for like photography, business, editing?
Yeah. So I actually over during the course of this, of course, like I said, I evaluated the way I did business. I actually changed CRMs. I changed the different platform for my client. I went from Sprout to Dubsado. So I did that whole project. And honestly, I really loved Dubsado. Like, it takes care of everything. It's a little rough at the beginning to understand it, to get it off the ground. But once it is, like, every Monday I log in and it tells me exactly what I need to focus on.
Nice.
And it's easy. Yeah, it's really easy to serve my clients that way. And then I also, like, editing-wise, I'm actually, I'm blanking out on the brand. I think it's Imagenogenic? Either way, it's a skin smoothing.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, and it kind of does a little bit of skin tone, like very subtle skin smoothing that really just bumps up my work just a smidge level higher. You know, nobody looks fake or anything, but they look polished.
Right. It has that extra level of like detail to it.
Yes. Because as much as even some people, especially my clients, will be like, I want to be natural. I want to look like myself. And I always say, I'm going to make you look like yourself, but just like elevated.
Yeah. You
know,
there you go.
Just elevate, not fake, not different, elevated.
Just in the complete perfect setting.
Yes.
That's what you're going to look like, as if you were to be in the complete perfect setting.
Exactly. And as if your airbrush had actually stuck.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. There you go.
Exactly.
Right on. I keep kind of flip-flopping back and forth. But going back to you starting the business and stuff, I don't know, is there any like advice or like helpful tips for someone who might now be in your shoes, in the same shoes that you were in, you know, a while back, when you were in Hawaii? What's some good advice for just anybody just starting a photography business, or say they're just now taking it seriously? Like, what's some good, like, long-lasting advice?
So my favorite quote is, oh my gosh. Well, it's two different ones. Okay. And one's not necessarily a quote, but a quandary. How do you eat an elephant?
How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time. Okay.
And my other favorite quote is, bite off more than you can chew and then chew it.
Ooh, I love that one.
Those are my two favorite quotes, because I mean, anybody who knows me knows that I'm doing too much. Like, even right now, I'm writing a book, I'm running my business, I just finished my master's, I started an internship, I don't stop.
Hey, and that's amazing though. That's awesome. That really is great. Like, yeah. That quote resonated with me, because I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm gonna chew it. It's gonna feel hard sometimes. Yep. You know, philosophically, your mouth is going to feel full and like it's too much and you want to spit some of it out. But if you keep chewing, you're going to eventually get it down your gullet.
And these are all metaphorical terms,
yeah, course,
or symbolic, symbolic terms.
Don't eat your camera, yes, of course, for sure. Of course. But that's, I mean, you just have to stick with it. To be an entrepreneur in any form, you have to be willing to go, man, it's really hard right now, and just get up every day and just do what you can. One of the other things I try to keep in mind is that your best is subjective and it is not consistent. So what is your best today is not going to be your best tomorrow, and you can't measure yourself from yesterday, you know? So nice. Just do what you can each day. Without, you can really hurt yourself. Like, if you push yourself too much for too long, you can really hurt yourself as a person, which has ramifications even longer. So it's better to honor yourself where you are at every day.
Absolutely. There's a quote I heard and it goes, don't be your own tyrant. Like, or don't be a tyrant to yourself.
Yeah.
And definitely. It's like, I was like, I thought about that and I was like, yeah, that's true, man. Cause like, especially as artists or creatives, like, I mean, I think a lot of times we find ourselves self-criticizing and like, we're our own worst critic, you know,
definitely.
Kind of thing.
Definitely.
So like, I don't know, that always resonated with me too. Yeah. I don't know. I loved that quote. It's just like, don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get better. Like, you will get better as long as you keep practicing.
Yeah. And that's what I try to keep in mind. You know, my partner has 4 kids and I've been teaching them, you know, just sticking with goals, whatever it is. Like, sometimes it's learning how to fry chicken or something just small.
Yeah.
And it seems hard in the beginning, but if you stick with it, there's just such a delight in noticing your own progress.
It's amazing. And,
it is.
And honestly, I've mentioned this too before in the podcast, but other people see your growth and your progression. They're like, hey, good for them. Like, that's actually pretty cool. Like, good for them.
I've even had clients. I had one client. I went to one workshop that was incredible in 2018. And I came out like just a different photographer. And I had a client that left a review that said it was such a delight to see my work grow before I even worked with them.
Nice.
You know, right? Like, it was a good feeling.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, we'll wrap it up here in a second. But I just want to do one last question. What is either, a lot of times I'll say like your most notable project you've worked on, or what's a project that really just like stuck out to you that you're like, man, I love doing this. Like, I'm glad this is what I do for a living.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So many, but my brain immediately goes to when I was published in the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice.
I did this wedding. People probably don't even know that it was me that did it, but it was a vampire wedding for the former king and queen of the vampire court here in Austin.
Nice.
And nice. I had the New York Times contact me to do interviews. Unfortunately, my interview didn't make it, but my photos did, so whatever.
Of course. I mean, I just, you know.
Yeah. You know,
course.
But that wedding in and of itself taught me a lot. Like, it was the hardest wedding I've ever done. It was the biggest wedding. It was the most elaborate wedding.
Wow.
Like, it was so incredible in the different ways that I learned and the opportunities I gained. And then it was it went viral with the Daily Mail, and then the New York Times picked it up. I think it was last year. Yeah, it was last year, last October.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so like my photo was right there at the top of the article. It was It was nice.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. I'll have to see that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
You'll have to link me to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. Where can people find you?
Oh, everywhere. I don't know.
Everywhere.
Someone the nearest demon? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Bet. All right. We got it.
So I'm on Createx. Just Createx on Instagram, on Facebook.
Can you spell that?
CREATRIX. It's Latin for creative femme.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I am Createx photography anywhere. Like, just put it in the internet and I will.
And you
pop
will find
up.
It.
Yes. You don't need a demon, actually.
Awesome. Cool. Cool. Well, yeah, we'll just wrap it up. Any last remarks or anything, or any last pieces of advice or last words?
Gosh, I wish I had something clever, but I do not.
See, me too. Me too. But hey, this is why I like to do this. Make it raw, like authentic.
Yeah.
You know, super basic question structure.
I wanted
just
to do
so
a
we
quote
can be
from Braveheart, but I totally blanked out.
Yeah. I don't know. What to mean. Just yell and just, ah! Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming out and being a guest.
You.
And yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome. I'm super happy to be here. Thank you.
Right on.